Well, hello and welcome, everybody, to another version of the Voices of Courage show. As you know, I'm your host, Kendi Foster, and, you know, this show is really about you. It's about helping you to awaken to that inner genius that's in all of us. It's about helping you to really redefine maybe who you are, where you are, what you want to do. You know, there's a the science of metacognition. Some of you know what that is, and some of you don't know. But metacognition is the ability to self-reflect, the ability to actually go deep within oneself and understand what makes you tick, understand, you know, why you do certain things, what habits you have, and also not just reflect on them, but be able to start to discern, incorporate, it would be a better word, to understand how to maybe make those changes at a deep level so that the old patterns start to dissipate and the, I guess we call it the new you starts to show up in the world. So today we're going to take a deep dive into what we're going to call our soul. I get a lot of people call it that, you know, there's a lot of different terms, but the soul, what is the soul? You know, the soul is that part of us that we can't taste, feel, touch, but it is there. In fact, it is the power behind these bodies. It is so powerful that's animating these bodies, right? All the bodies, the billions of bodies in the world, and much more. So we're going to take a deep dive in that. And today I have a very special guest with me. And some of you probably know him. He's a renowned spiritual teacher. He's a New York Times bestselling author. One of the first books he did was The Seat of the Soul. And his name is Gary Zukav. And Gary's going to join us here in just a minute. In fact, I'm going to put you on screen right now, Gary. So Gary has worked with and inspired millions of people, including myself. That's one of the books that really helped me to start to understand who I was and to wake up. And, you know, his work is all about the evolution of consciousness. And through his books and teachings, you know, he helps individuals to align with coherence of themselves, with the environments, with others, and most importantly, with their own nature, with the soul. So Gary, welcome to the show. It's wonderful to have you. I've been trying to get you as a guest for many years, so it's really good to have you.
Thank you, Ken. It's a delight to be with you.
You know, we started talking out in the green room, and I woke up in 1992, and you said, "What does that mean? What do you mean you woke up?" And I told you that it was a time when I was hearing this little voice inside of me that said, "You got to feel the pain to make the change." And at the time, I was chasing a lot of pleasure. You know, I really didn't know who I was, but all I wanted to do was have fun. That's kind of was in my mind. And, you know, so that day when I woke up, I made a phone call to AA and I walked in the doors of AA. And this big guy by the name of Jim gave me a big hug and he said, "Welcome home." Little did I know the meaning of those words at that time. I felt it. I felt like something was changing in that instant, but I really didn't know what that was. And I came to find out that I wasn't who I thought I was. I wasn't my accomplishments. I wasn't my wife at the time. I wasn't my money. I wasn't my cars that I was driving. It wasn't any of that. I had to identify, like, well, I thought that's who I was. You know, this is what I was told, you know. But little did I know that there was something much deeper inside of me. So I'd like to start there. I'd like to start with the awakening, you know, and maybe you could share a little bit about, you know, what happened with you, Gary? What was that awakening moment or moments? I know mine was over a period of years. It wasn't instant, you know, there had some instances, but I'm just wondering for you, where was that?
Oh, thank you, Ken. It's hard to say where something starts and where something ends. Endings and beginnings are something that occur only in the Earth School, call it that, this time of this domain of time and space and matter and duality and fear. I believe a good place to start here. My awakening started when I was writing a book on quantum physics. And I realized that I wasn't alone in writing this. That was my first experience of non-physical reality that I recognized. I'd had others, but I didn't recognize them. And because of that book, it won the American Book Award for Physics and got, as a result, I got some invitations, and one of them was to a conference in Stockholm. And so I wanted to go, but I had just broken up with another woman for the same reasons. I was in pain again, and I went to visit a friend. Robert Johnson was his name, a Jungian psychologist who's written several books. And he said, "Why don't you go into the desert and become enlightened? That's how it's traditionally done." Well, I never did become enlightened, but I did go into the desert, the Anza Borrego Desert, east of San Diego. And while I was there for a long time, maybe weeks, I learned a lot about my dreams. And then at the end of that time, I had decided before I left, before I called Robert, that I wasn't going to go to Sweden. I didn't feel like I could even make that trip, much less present. But then I knew I'm going to do it. I want to do it now. So I had three co-presenters. One of them was Edgar Mitchell, the Apollo 14 astronaut who founded the Institute of Noetic Science.
Yeah.
And the first thing that happened when we got there was the conference organizer welcomed us. He said, "Welcome to Sweden. All the big companies are here, the banks, the telecoms, Volvo and Saab. But I have a surprise for you." And he took us into a room, and there was a middle-aged man and his son. They closed the door, and the middle-aged man channeled this entity called Umbris. And his son was the translator. I had seen this on Johnny Carson, and I wasn't interested at all. I was jet-lagged, and we all wanted to go to bed. I did anyway. The next morning, Jan came back and said, "You can speak with Umbris anytime you want." And although my interaction was shallow, almost non-existent with this entity, I was curious, so I accepted. So I went back to the same room, same medium, same translator. And then when Umbris came, it was just the three of us, the first thing he said captured my attention permanently. Without any introduction, he said, "How did you learn to understand your dreams in the desert?" Again, no one knew I was in the desert, much less what happened there. Just my friend Robert, and he didn't know what happened. Umbris knew. He knew it all. And he said, "A flame, small flame has been kindled in you, ignited, and it's like a candle in a cathedral, and you have to keep the flame alive." And that scared me. I said, "Well, can it go out?" And he said, "Yes, you could fall." I said, "How do I keep it alive?" He said, "You need to talk with people. You need to want to talk with people." I said, "But Umbris, that's what I cannot do. I couldn't talk to anyone after those weeks in the desert. I couldn't even say hello to the cashier that said, 'Good morning, sir,' when I got things at a little grocery store." So he took my hands, one in his and each in his, and he asked me, "Will you talk with people?" It wasn't a leading question. It wasn't directive. It was just a question. And I felt it, and I said, "Yes, I will." He squeezed my hand, and that ended our conversation there. I walked out the door and into a small group of people, and I said, "Hi." That's the best I could do. But I saw that the universe had given me an opportunity to practice what I committed to seconds earlier. Now, fast forward a couple of years, and I met a woman, and this time I did start a relation. Before that, I was addicted to sex for half of my life. And that means, for those of you who haven't been addicted to sex, all I was interested in were their genitals, just the pleasure of ejaculating into them, nothing more. I didn't care about them. I didn't want to know anything about them. And it came as quite a jolt to me several years later when I realized that's how they felt about me. They didn't care about me any more than I cared about them. And that is what an addictive sexual attraction is. It's two people preying, P-R-E-Y, on one another.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I have a question for you, Gary. Is Genesis in your mind? I mean, we're at some level we're all one, but is Genesis separate from you, or is Genesis part of your higher self?
In the process of learning everything I know now, I asked Genesis, "Are we separate? Are we the same?" Because Genesis said what you said, we're all the same. I said, "So are you and I the same?" And he said, "Yes, Gary, we're the same." And I thought I would try to catch him. I thought I'd say, well, wait a minute. If we're the same, what happens when I ask you a meaningful question and you give meaning, a meaningful answer? If we're the same, then where did that wisdom come from except from me? And Genesis said, "That's the point." So, yes, I learned everything that I know and then started to become more than I know and then became who I am. And all of this, so you ask, where is my awakening? That's the best I can give you as a start. I do not have access to memories of prior incarnations, but I have no doubt in my heart that this awakening started prior to these things I've shared with you, but these I know.
Yeah. You know, I have many, many questions here. You went down the path of the healing really started with the joy, with the love part. And was that love was, I'm taking it, it was something a little more past, let's say, human love, where human love seems to be finicky. I love you today, I don't love you tomorrow, into a place of maybe an unconditional or infinite love. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that. If that part, is that something you've experienced? And I experience it through your work. When I read, I feel that love. So I'm just wondering how that is showing to you.
I met Linda Francis, who was my spiritual partner and my life partner for 27 years. And in 2022, she had a stroke and her soul returned home, which means her body died. Her personality died. I was there. And the pain was beyond what I could have imagined a human could experience. So when I got home from the hospital without her, and I realized she's not coming home from the hospital, she's never coming back here. That night, I didn't know. I knew one thing only, that everything that happens in my life happens for my spiritual development. And I held on to that tight, like a drowning man in the ocean holds on to a lifeline. And through the night, I set the intention not to waste one molecule of this pain, not to go to the refrigerator, not to eat, nothing, just stay and experience fully, wholly this pain. 2 days later, I was sitting by our pool, which looks sort of like a lagoon, and this realization came to me. I don't have any reason for living now except to love people. And it's been permanent. And so I am not the same one that I was before this happened. I am who I am now. It's quite different. So when it comes to love, I don't have many thoughts about it now. I am love. And this is something I might have said before or fantasized myself being expanded enough to say, but it wouldn't have been the case.
Yeah.
It is the case now.
Yeah. You know, when I proposed to my wife, Judy, in the Self-Realization Fellowship Gardens in Encinitas, California, it was a sunset evening, and got on my knees, and she said, "Of course I'll marry you." And then out of the bushes, the gardens were closed, came this woman all dressed in white. She channeled the essence of me to Judy and the essence of Judy to me, and she touched our spiritual line. And she asked us both to, she says, "You guys strive for infinite love. Don't ask for anything else. Infinite love." And it just seems that the infinite love that you've experienced, and that's my mission today, is to love, just love. And sometimes I'm good with it, and sometimes I'm an imperfect being. But that seems to be the key in my world. I bet it might be in yours, you know, to everything. It's key to healing, key to understanding, key to insight, key to wisdom, keys to life. How do you experience that today?
Everything I experienced today, when I speak of my experiences, you can take them as true. When I speak about what I know, I suggest that you not take anything I say as so because I say it. But instead, if I say something you resonate with, I'm speaking to our viewers now. Try it out. Take it into your life and see what it produces. And if you like what it produces, experiment some more. And if you don't, let it go. Don't try to wear a shoe that pinches. What I am is love. And it's what you are too. The difference between us, I'm speaking to, not to you, Kim, but to our viewers, is this. I know it, and you may not. But you are learning now. How can I be so confident? I'm in late 1987. Genesis said, "Come with your friend and her friends on this night. Meditate during this phase of the moon. We are going to change the light upon your planet. This will be a spectacular event. It has been planned for 1,000 years. I said, "Well, will I see it? What's going to happen?" He said, "Not at first." He said, "You may see that in the days, years to come, there will be more openness and receptivity to conversations such as this. And you'll see that the resistance to conversations such as this will begin to diminish." He said, "A new consciousness is being given to the entire human species. And it will happen within 3 generations. Half of them have come now, Ken. We're in the middle of this transformation. The old consciousness was limited to the 5 senses. If you can't see it, hear it, touch it, feel it, taste it, doesn't exist. fantasy or illusion. The old understanding of power is manipulation and control. That's external power. We needed it to evolve, and we did. Now it produces only violence and destruction. It's toxic. And everything that Genesis has told me for my growth and about what is happening in the world has come to pass exactly as he's given it to me. And when
some predictions around this, around 2027, 2030, as the consciousness starts to evolve in the planet, where we can see it. We're watching the fall of the old consciousness, and everybody seems to be waking up and realizing it really doesn't matter what if you're on the right or the left, or you're independent, or you're what the color of your skin may be, or it's happening to all of us, and we're seeing these illusions being pulled back, and realizing that what you just said, power and the destruction of our world through the egocentric leaders of the past, and we've all been there, with the ego. The ego seems to be lightening up a little, Gary. It seems to be like, okay, there's something past. In fact, all my clients are interested in energy work now. It's bizarre. I want to read auras. I want to see energy. I want to feel. So, people are like coming to me and go, I'm like, well, you know what? Even 5 years ago, these guys, there's no way they'd be there. So, is that what we're talking about here?
Yes. It's, I feel that it's possible to look inside yourself and use terms that are more precise than ego. To me, that goes back to perhaps Sigmund Freud in 1890s. I see inside me, and I see inside others, parts of personalities. Some of them originate in fear, and I experience them as anger, jealousy, resentment, competitiveness, overwhelm, superiority, inferiority. And they're all painful to experience, and they all create painful consequences when I act on them. And I see other parts of my personality that, for simplicity, I would say originate in love. And these we experience as gratitude, appreciation, caring, contentment, patience, all of the universe. And the new consciousness, Ken, and for everyone listening, allows us to distinguish between these two. Our personality.
As we distinguish between those two, Gary, let's say someone has an addiction to anger. I mean, that's an addiction out there. They experience anger consistently. Instead of defaulting, let's say, to being depressed, they go to anger. When one becomes conscious of that, what's the key to changing that?
You change it. No one else can.
Yeah.
And this is how you can do it. In the new consciousness, power is alignment of your personality with your soul. Or you could say alignment of the mortal aspect of yourself with the immortal aspect. You know that you have the new consciousness because your consciousness is not limited to the five senses. And if I ask you, for example, I'm talking to our viewers now. Are you more than a body and a mind? Well, your viewers are all going to say, even if they have to think about it, yes. And probably they're going to say, of course. But if I ask someone with the old consciousness, are you more than a body and a mind? If he's a good heart, he'll look at me in puzzlement and he'll say, what else is there? That's how unbridgeable the difference is between the old and the new consciousness. I feel that about half of us have the new consciousness. That would be about 4 billion people. And half of us don't. And this is just a temporary flow and ebb of evolution. By the end of the century, by the end of the third generation, all of us will have the new consciousness, but we'll not all be authentically powerful. That's a potential that requires work. And everything that Linda and I share and everything that Genesis and now my other teachers have given, other teacher, singular, have given, has to do with creating authentic power.
Can we talk a little bit about what that means to the audience so they can clearly identify that?
When you're feeling a painful emotional experience, or you're not sure what you're feeling, but you're not feeling right, are you? Everyone knows when they're really angry, but not everyone knows when that anger is in them and influencing them. So if you're experiencing a painful emotion, or you think, or you want to know what you're experiencing, the first thing I'd suggest is turn your attention away from the world. From the old consciousness, the world is the cause of our joy and our pain. And so to change that, to change the world, that's external power, manipulation and control. That's what produces only violence and destruction now. Look inside. You're looking for internal dynamics. The world activates those internal dynamics, and those internal dynamics generate your emotional experiences, bliss and pain. Those emotional dynamics, interior dynamics, are what I've been calling frightened parts of your personality and loving parts. So you look inside, see what is active in you. There's three tools to creating authentic power. I'll discuss two of them. They're simple: emotional awareness and responsible choice. Here's what emotional awareness looks like. You look inside yourself and you turn your attention to your energy processing centers. That you have seven of them. I would suggest you start with your throat, your chest, and your solar plexus. In the East, they're called chakras, but we're calling them energy processing centers, which is what they are. And what you're looking for are physical sensations, not I feel happy, I feel down, I feel up, I feel bubbly, this, it feels good. None of that will help you. You're looking for physical sensations like aching, contracting, throbbing, stinging, stabbing, churning, burning, hot, cold. And if you find physical sensations that are uncomfortable or painful, you know that a frightened part of your personality is active. For example, if I say, if someone asks me, what are you feeling, Gary? Now, I'm going to make this up for illustration. I could say, well, I'm feeling an ache in the upper left part of my chest and contraction across my entire chest, like I've got a metal band pulling me, and across my solar plexus, that would be my third energy processing center, I feel a burning across the top, sometimes a fluttering. And in my throat, I feel a constriction. It's about the size of a golf ball, and it feels hard like that, and it hurts. And it's sitting just on top of my collarbone. That is emotional literacy. Anything less is emotional illiteracy. And for emotional awareness, you learn to express your emotions in these terms. That lets you know exactly what a frightened part of your personality is experiencing in you, what you are experiencing when it is active. Then, while you're there, so to speak, you can see what thoughts this part is thinking. And all of them will be judgmental and critical. For example, I know all of this. Why am I even here? I could teach this class. Or, I'll never understand this. Everyone here is smarter than I am. Or, he's so stupid. Or, I'm so stupid. This is what frightened parts of your personality feel and think. And when you recognize them, that's emotional awareness. When you're in a loving part, you do the same thing. But the physical sensations you're feeling are very different. They're warm, expansive. They feel good. They're the kind of things you want, feelings you want more of. And the thoughts that they're thinking are always thoughts of gratitude and appreciation and contentment and awe of the universe. Then this is where it happens, Ken. Well, this is almost where it happens. At this point, use your volition, your free will, to move your attention while you're in a frightened part of your personality to a loving part of your personality, a time when you were loved or loving or both, and you knew it. My go-to is one with my dad. I hated him. I spent 7 years away once just to be away from him. But that changed. And when I'd come home from college, from the Army, I'd knock on the door of our little house in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and my mother, I'd hear my mother, "It's Gary, it's Gary, it's Gary." And she'd open the door, and my father, who could still walk then, would enter the room from a hallway, and his face was radiant, just beaming to see his son again. That's my go-to. A couple of days later, by then, frightened parts of his personality would be active again, and he'd be micromanaging me. But in that moment of seeing me, that's what I saw as pure love, the love that supported me through my life in many ways.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I just had a similar experience, I know, with my father, that my father was, he was LAPD, Los Angeles Police Department, 48 years and served concurrently in the Criminal Investigation Division of the Army, 30 for 40 some years. He's a tough guy, you know, and him and I always had arguments. And one day I was driving to his place and I prayed about it. I said, you know, what has to shift here so that we can stop arguing? He was getting up in his years. And I just heard the voice. I just said, just make him right. Make him right. Let him be right. And I went to his home and I let him be right. He was right about everything. I said, yeah, you're right about that. You're right about. We never argued again. We never had an argument again. And he would never eat healthy. He wouldn't do anything. You know, I'd always, Dad, you need to eat this. Finally, you're right. Just eat that. Funny, he ended up wanting to go to Trader Joe's and health food places with me and everything else because I wasn't resisting anymore. It's like he had a place where he wanted to be. It was amazing. It was wonderful. My brothers and sisters didn't get there, but I did. And I saw the change in him and the love that we had. I could really appreciate what he did for me in while he was here. So,
oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, Ken.
Make him right.
Well, for me, once you're experiencing a frightened part and you use your free will to move yourself into an experience just like the one you're describing with your dad, when you felt that magic, when you didn't need to change him anymore, and the love began to. Now, when you're in that part, like what you were feeling with your dad, you do the same process, look in your energy processing centers and in what it's thinking, and then use your responsible choice to act and speak from that part of your personality while you're experiencing the frightened part with its painful physical sensations and its judgmental critical thoughts. That is the moment of creating authentic power. That's when it happens. And it's not an event. It's a process. But the more you do this, the more you challenge frightened part of your personality, and this doesn't involve conflict or any of the New Age things like surrender, embrace, none of that. Challenging a frightened part of your personality means knowing it intimately. That's emotional awareness. And while you're doing that, choosing to move beyond its control consciously, that's authentic power. And that's what Linda and I teach. Emotional awareness, responsible choice. It's as simple as that.
I named my fearful, always right, controlling part of myself. I named it Benny, right? So Benny then came up. That's Benny. And I gave one of my friends permission. I said, when you hear Benny, let me know, right? And so we would play this game. But, you know, it was interesting. When I first started that game, Benny was there a lot. Then I kind of changed the game. I said, well, how fast can I switch from Benny back to love? Benny, you know. And it took a long time. But it happened. Benny doesn't show up very often. Yeah.
Ken, this is beautiful. You're describing creating authentic power. I'm saying, recognize a frightened part of your personality and speak from a loving part. That's the challenge. And people who are creating authentic power with the new consciousness naturally form spiritual partnerships. And that's exactly what you did. That's a partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. And the agreement is this. If you think you see something in me that you think I'm not seeing and you think it would be helpful for me to see, will you tell me? Well, that was when you were saying, if you see Benny, will you let me know?
Yeah.
It's, Ken, what you're doing in your own and in your innate wisdom and the wisdom of your teachers, you're in the vocabulary of authentic power, using the new consciousness to create authentic power and challenge the frightened parts of your personality. So this is an example of where being on the same page does not necessarily mean using the same language, but it means looking at the same dynamic, self-transformation, how it happens, your role in it, which is everything.
You know, I'd like you to comment a little bit about intuition, but before I get there, I know you're doing some workshops. You got some things coming up. You wanna talk a little bit about that, or where the audience can get a hold of you, Gary?
Yes, you can get a hold of me. You can communicate with me.
Get a hold of you. They want a hold on you, bro.
Come to our website, which is seatofthesoul.com. SEAT, like what you sit on. The SOUL, and we have courses, we have books, we have free material, and also we've just starting a foundation called Universal Human Foundation, and that will be up probably by the time you hear this interview. So please come there. I'd love to hear from you. I have a monthly radio show called Evening with Gary Zukav. That's subscription. You can subscribe to that. I also record a deep cast twice a week, and those are released every week, one of them. We also send out emails if you subscribe at no charge, like a soul seed. Just one thought. I'll give you something to maybe change your life if you think about it. And we also have something called Wisdom Wednesdays. Same thing, but now they're paragraphs, more to contemplate. So you're welcome to all of those. And especially, I would love to interact with you. We're thinking of more ways to do this now. We're live streamed to 8 social media platforms. I never had social media before. And then a friend that I just met said, I want to do something for you. And he's brought our social media from zero, my social media from zero to maybe 6 or 7 million. Now that's small compared to what you're doing, Ken, with your patience and compassion and persistence to continue to look at courage and where it comes into play in life. But for me, it's very gratifying because that's a few more people who are looking at their lives in terms of fear and love, and being able to distinguish between the two and choose love no matter what's going on inside of them or what's going on outside of them. What's going on inside of you may be despondency, suicide, thoughts of anger, rage. And what's going on outside of you could be another 9/11 type event, or another tsunami, or another hurricane in Florida. And no matter what's going on inside you or outside of you, being able to choose love. That is authentic power. The ability to move through your life with an empowered heart without attachment to the outcome. Authentic power is love. There's no greater power. And we're in the Earth School to learn how to create it. And in the process, the new consciousness is taking us far beyond the first stages of this transformation, which is learning to recognize fear and love and choose love and the new understanding of power.
You know, one of the pieces that I know works in my world is stillness and just being still. Also being in a place of, I would say, isolation, isolating myself from the world and just getting quiet and getting still. And it doesn't have to be long periods of stillness. It could be 5 minutes. But when I experience that, and I got, if I have something going on and I just get quiet, the answer is always calm. There's an intuitive, I believe intuition is developed through stillness. As we get quiet, we can start to hear that small voice that we all have. It's always speaking to us if we can hear it. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree. Everyone, when I say challenge a frightened part of your personality, I've given a process that you can use if you don't already have one. You already have one. Challenge it means become acquainted with it, very familiar with it, and choose not to be controlled by it. And how you do that depends upon you and what you choose. That you do it is important for your spiritual growth, because until then, you don't grow. You have to become aware of your emotions. So you asked me about intuition. That's interesting, because I was going to say there's actually three tools. I think I did, and I said I'll talk about the first two, emotional awareness, responsible choice. The third one is consulting intuition. Intuition is the voice of the non-physical world. We have that access because of multisensory perception. Before that, intuition was sort of a fluke. Could happen, usually it didn't happen. Carl Jung called it synchronicity. But we are always have access to intuition now. Our non-physical guides and our non-physical teachers are experiences of intuition. And I'm not saying this, you listen to everything that presents itself to you interiorly as a non-physical teacher. I've talked with some people who say, you want to hear my teacher? And I say, yes. And I discover this thing, whatever it is, doesn't know any more than I do. I think it knows less. So the point is, use your sense of meaning. Use your own intuition about what you're hearing. Is it wise? Is it grounded? Can it help me? Am I willing to experiment with it? Or does it sound just like another friend talking New Age? You're the one that decides that. But if you have in your life a genuine teacher with a capital T, and everyone does, it can be transformative. The teacher will never give you instructions. Do this, do that. A teacher will, in my experience, illuminate my experiences, show me what they mean in broader context so that I can use them to understand how to love people better. So now, intuition. I agree with you. Stillness is a very important part of intuition, although you can experience intuition in a moment of panic, and you know, don't do that. You just know, no, don't hit him. No, don't slam the door. No, don't get in a car and drive now. But in general, I agree with you. A good diet, a healthy diet. Ingest good foods. If while you're ingesting good food, you're also ingesting toxins like judgment and criticism and blame and of other people, you might as well be eating roast beef instead of tofu. So cleanse yourself to the extent that you can. That means don't go to bed angry. Things like that, simple things. Intuition for me is, it is access to domains of experience and wisdom beyond the Earth School. Mm-hmm. And the new consciousness is already taking us partway there, just a little way there, but enough to know a little bit about it. And your teachers will show you even more when the time is appropriate for you.
I like the questions. I think introspection is a part of my growth. And yeah, even at the end of the day, asking, you know, what worked, what didn't work, where can I improve? Not from a place of have to or must or, you know, setting goals, but just a real genuine sense of I'm growing, I'm evolving, I'm expanding my consciousness, and I'd like to experience a greater sense of my own self. And what's your thoughts on that? And we're going to close right now. Mm-hmm.
I resonate with everything you're saying, Jim. I think everything you're saying is beautiful. At the farthest edges of where I've gone in following the new consciousness and using it has been beyond I. There comes a place where you disappear. For example, I'd suggest you can experiment with this thought that you are your perceptions. They're not happening to you. You're not having them. You are your perceptions. Try that out for a while. And while you're doing it, see if you can find you in that picture. The new consciousness is taking us even farther than that.
I love that.
That's what I'm so excited about. And that's what I love to share. There are things that are very repulsive to your intellect, and there's a reason for that. Realizations such as, the universe is inside me. I am the universe. The universe is all that is. What is all that is? All that is love, and I'm that. And your intellect says, that's narcissistic, that's solipsistic, and it's inconsistent, and it's absurd. So when that happens to you, that means that your intellect has reached a stopping point, but you have not.
Gary, thank you so much for being here. This it's one of my favorite interviews this year, and I really appreciate you. I appreciate your wisdom. I appreciate the integrity that you bring to this show. So I just thank you. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Ken. Thank you for inviting me into your life.